Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about studying and exam writing and test writing. I'm particularly interested in this subject because, for some reason, parents think that children automatically know how to study, and they don't. It's actually a skill. And I think we think that because we were never taught properly how to study and how to write exams. We just did them. It was an assumption. And I think there are a lot of children out there who are getting poorer marks, not because they don't know their work, but because they have no clue what they're doing when it comes to studying and test taking. So let's talk a bit about it. The biggest thing, the biggest aha moment I had, and the tip I want to share with you, is that studying is primarily about recall. It's about memory, even skill-based. It could be muscle memory, practice memory, word memory, critical thinking memory. Okay, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but ultimately, if you don't remember the information, if you don't have the knowledge in your head, you can't use it, you can't apply it, you can't have critical thinking around it. So it all starts with, do I remember it? Underneath that is the understanding. And I love to use the example of multiplication tables. I've used it before. I want every child to know that 5 times 5 is actually 5, a grouping of 5, taken 5 times. And it's equal amounts. Multiplication and fractions are equal amounts. They're never, a half is never a third. It's a half. It's exactly a half. So 5 times 5 is the same as 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5. It's 5 times, right? Which makes it 25. So we need children to understand the concept. And this would be the same for sciences and histories and English and phonics and comprehension and critical thinking and study skills and answering questions. It's the same thing. We want them to understand what it means. And then we want them to know that 5 fives are 25. We don't want them to have to work it out every single time, because 5 times 5 is a known fact. So studying happens at multiple levels. The first is when they're being taught in class over the term, are they being given enough opportunity to understand? At that point, you're not necessarily teaching them that 5 fives are 25. You're teaching them that 5 times 5 is 5 taken 5 times. It's a repeated addition. 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5, right? 5 times. Once they understand the concept of multiplication, even if it's just taking 5 times 5, then they'll understand that 2 times 7 is 2 7 times. And 7 times 2 is 7 twice. And then they'll know that 7 times 2 is 14. They just need to learn that. So let's go back to memory. So we first understand the concept of what we're talking about. So we understand phonics. We understand that silent E or magic E changes the sound of the vowel when it's a single vowel and a single consonant. Okay, we learn that rule. We see how it's applied, and then we can apply it universally because we understand it. And then we don't need to rehash in our brains how to say the word rope. It's not rope, and it's not rop. We understand that the magic E at the end changes the sound of the O, from an R to an O, and we know it, and we can apply it to any other word. So that's understanding into memorizing or remembering how to spell the word rope and not having to apply the rule every time because it's already embedded. It's already automatic. So memorization is about automating our understanding. And once we've automated what we can automate, our brains are freed up to apply. And that's where the higher level thinking comes in. Now, if your child has only done rote learning, they don't understand what 5 times 5 means. They just know 5 fives are 25. When they're given 5 times 6, they haven't learned 5 times 6. They don't know what it is. But when they understand it's 5 now taken 6 times, they understand it's 30 because it's just another 5. Then they can apply it into word sums as well. So now we have 5 apples and there's 5 baskets with 5 apples. And now, okay, so you see where I'm going with this. So study skills has a basic understanding that we need to understand first. And that doesn't happen the week before the test. That happens over the term while it's being taught to them. Do they understand the concept being taught to them? Are they practicing it enough to embed that understanding? And when they get that aha moment, can we allow that to embed sufficiently that they don't lose it? The understanding stays. Then we move on to rote memorization, right? So now you understand how multiplication works. You understand spelling rules and how they work. Now let's apply it and let's learn our spelling words and let's just know it. Because when we know 5 fives are 25, we don't have to work it out in our math test. We can move on to the next complexity of sum. We can do long multiplication and long division. We can do word sums. We can do fractions because we understand what 5 times 5 actually is. And now we can get our tests finished on time. We are quicker. We're more accurate because we've remembered it correctly. And we can apply critical thinking in those harder questions that are worth more marks. Okay, so this is how learning and thinking works at a basic level. Now, what about studying? A lot of children tend to just read through the work or stare at the page. Some of them have been taught how to do mind maps. Mind maps is a very interesting thing. It's really for the visual learner, and it's for critical points. It's for information-based. It's for linking ideas together. It's for remembering facts in a visual way. Not always appropriate for all subjects, but it can work, only if it works for your child. So what happens is your kid opens their book, and they've got to, I don't know, they've got to study chapters 1 through 5 for their exam, and they start from the beginning, and they start reading it again, and maybe they, I've seen children being taught how to highlight, and you get to the end of the chapter and they've highlighted almost every single word except for the and and in and on, the prepositions and the articles. And that doesn't make any sense. Highlighting is to bring out the headings, which actually in a textbook are already there. So we need to teach children how to read text so that they take the information in, how to focus and concentrate on the information so that they understand it. I'm assuming if they're writing tests from grade 4 and upwards, they already are relatively good at reading. Now they need to take the reading and understand it. Then they need to remember what they've read. Memory is a big deal. Now, I always talk about learn, forget, remember. Now, what happens a lot in school, and parents and teachers miss this forgetting part, or they miss the remembering part, and they leave the remembering only to the test day. But actually what happens is I teach you something in class. Then you get on with your day and you go and play your sport and you get home. And now I'm asking you to do homework, which is where you get a chance to remember. Now, if you're not taught how to remember, your mom or your dad, or maybe the next day your teacher, is going to reteach it to you. So you are never practicing the remembering of the fact. You're going from learning to forgetting, back to learning, back to forgetting, then to learning again. And the only time your brain is asked to remember is in the exam. Now it's too late. Your brain needs to be working hard to remember those facts quite frequently, because those pathways get generated and then that information is stuck in your brain. So now you're writing your test, you remember all the information, then you get asked a broader, higher level question like, please explain or discuss, and you can because you remember the facts. Now, there's multiple ways you can work on remembering skills. The visual learner, what I might ask them if I was a parent at home and my child cannot remember a thing from class, I might say, okay, who was the teacher that was teaching that to you? Can you close your eyes and picture the class you were in? Where were you sitting? Who was next to you? Where was the teacher standing? What was she wearing, if you remember that? What was she drawing on the board? Or what slide was she showing you? Or what was she demonstrating? What was she saying to you? Cast your mind back to that lesson. Can you think of a key word? Can you think of something that might have been funny? Can you think of what you were thinking about? What did you write on the paper? Let's look at your piece of paper. Let's look at your workbook. Oh, you wrote that. Can you remember more? So what you're doing is you're triggering through the senses your child's memory. As they recall that information, you're strengthening the recall process. And that's what you want. You want strong recall process for exams. You want them to be able to remember at the drop of a hat when they see a question and those words come up. Other ways they can remember is link a word to this. Think about what you were thinking when your teacher explained this to you. What made sense in your mind around this? Can you picture yourself in the chair? Can you viscerally feel what it felt like where your shoes were on the floor? Where was your arm? Were you holding a pencil? Put your mind back into that space. See if you can remember that way. So you're trying to use as many of the senses as possible to get your child to remember the information, not re-give it to them. The skill of studying is in the remembering. And they've got to do this over and over and over again. Just remembering once does not strengthen the pathway enough. So the next day you might jump into the car on the way to work and you know they've been studying, I don't know, something about Mapungubwe, for example, and you know some of the facts and you say, can you remember some of the items that were found on the top of Mapungubwe Hill that weren't from the area? And if they can't remember it, you say, okay, go back to your textbook. Can you picture your textbook? Were there any pictures? What did you see? Can you start listing them? Now, the funny thing about memory is one little remembered fact often creates a cascade of memories, and then it just comes flooding back, and then you watch your child get really excited about all the stuff he can remember. Then you might pick them up that afternoon and you say, hey, do you remember all those facts from this morning? And he might go, yeah, of course, Mom, and he rattles them off. Or you might say, oh, no, I don't. Okay, what helped you remember this morning? Listening to or remembering the textbook didn't help me, Mom, but I remember writing these things down and I can picture my page and I can remember me writing them, and that's how I'm going to remember it. So now what you're doing is you strengthening the memory pathways for facts. The memory itself, the memory center of the brain, is getting stronger. It's actually like a muscle. It grows the more you use it. So that is fantastic. And you're teaching him or her his style of learning and his style of remembering. Does he remember best when he's picturing where he was, where he's feeling where he was, where he's listening and remembering what he was hearing? Is, you know, what's the language he heard? Now we're looking at learning styles. So you want to practice that. Now, what you want to do is not waste your time on things he already remembers. You can do that to boost his self-esteem. But when he remembers it, you can go, well done. We're just going to recall that every now and again. Let's go to the stuff he's struggling to remember. Now, what can we do? Should we paint pictures? Should we create a clay model? Do you want to tell me the story of it? Do you want to read it again? Do you want to come up with keywords or a mind map? Let's try different things. Now, when your child is in grade 4, 5, and 6, those 3 years are the perfect opportunity for you to play around with their learning style and their study style. I wouldn't worry too much about exam results in grades 4, 5, and 6. I would worry more about whether they're developing the skills they need in order to do well in grades 7, 8, 9, and beyond. Grade 4, 5, and 6 is where sort of a 50% doesn't really matter, as long as they are learning the skill. Of course, you don't want children to not have the skill of each curriculum or each subject. You want them to embed, specifically reading and mathematics. So you don't want them to be getting 50 overall, but one exam that they don't do well in because you tried a different study skill, technique that perhaps didn't work is more useful, especially if you reflect on it, than sticking to something that sort of works and you never give them an opportunity to try something else that might work better and they might do well, given the new style of learning. So studying and exam writing are very specific skills. We've spoken about the studying skills and how you can help them and how you can explain what studying looks like and feels like, and it's about memory. And then, of course, exam writing is a whole nother set of skills. What do you need in your exam? How do you enter an exam? What happens to your brain when you're nervous? You know that it stops thinking. You need to calm your brain down. Are you teaching breath work? Are you teaching grounding techniques? I love the 5-4-3-2-1 technique where you practice with them over the whole term, getting in the car or getting in the bath at night or in bed at night. And you say, right, let's do the 5-3-4-3-2-1. Name 5 things you can see. You can do it in shopping centers as well, anywhere. Oh, I can see my bed and my dog and my lamp and the picture on my wall. And I can see my bag on the floor and my carpet. Great. So now there's nouns, there's tangible things he's seen. And the next thing is 4 things you can feel. I'm sitting on my duvet. I can feel my duvet under my legs. I can feel my mug in my hands. That's 4 things. The third thing is I can feel the weight of my book on my lap, and I can feel my socks on my toes. Great. That's 5, then 4, then 3. 3 things you can hear. Now, what's happening with this going down the senses is the 3 things you can hear, you've got to really keep quiet now. And you've got to really start going internal and paying attention, because it's not so easy to hear 3 things. You might hear a TV, a dog barking, a creak of a door. Can you see how it gets a bit quieter? Then 2 things I can smell. That becomes harder. But now you've got to breathe in and you've got to slow it down. You've got to come more internal. It's more grounding. I can smell a bit of dinner from earlier. I can smell my toothpaste because I've just brushed my teeth. Okay. Now, 1 thing you can taste. Yep, I can taste my toothpaste. Now, what's happened is you've slowed them down and you've brought them to ground them, center themselves. It's a wonderful way to fall asleep. Brilliant way to reduce anxiety. Excellent way to start any exam. So you teach them that first. You obviously also want to teach them that they need their pen or their pencil and their ruler. They must go to the exam prepared, and they must not prepare the night before or the morning before. They must prepare the night before, even the week before. Then how do you write an exam paper? Okay, breathe. How many pages are there? How many questions are there? How many marks are there? Have I put my name on the paper? Where does it want me to answer the questions? Where do I start? Is there an example? Right, let's start with one. Oh, I see that question is worth 5 marks and I have no clue what this is about. Let me move on. I make sure I come back to that question. Different techniques, different ways to approach an exam depending on your kid's style. Teaching them to breathe through the whole thing. Then you want to be teaching them question techniques. What does the word describe mean compared to explain or list or detail or illustrate? All of these command verbs require something different. And if you don't follow the command verb, you don't get the marks. In mathematics, if it says must show working out, they're just not going to get the marks if they don't show the working out. It's a skill. I hope this helps a little bit. There's a lot more to talk about it, but I think these are the basics. Think of one thing. Especially if your child is in grade 4, 5, or 6, cone on one thing in the first set of exams they write. Where are their strengths? What do you think will help them most? And praise them for those bits of effort. That's a growth mindset praise. Praise them for the effort, not necessarily the mark. If they get a good mark, you praise them for, wow, that study technique really worked in this subject. You got a great mark. Or, wow, that study technique in this subject really didn't work for you this time. You didn't get a great mark, but you worked really hard at that technique. I wonder if we can tweak it for next time. I'm so proud of you. You know, that's where you want to go in terms of motivating children to see that studying and exam writing is worthwhile. I hope this helps. You've probably got a ton of your own ideas, possibly some things that you're thinking about now that you weren't thinking of before. Good luck for exams.